This is a Player One podcast. Player One is a radio show about gaming that airs every Friday from 6 to 8pm on Sin Nation, a digital radio station in Melbourne, Australia. You can also stream Player One at syn.org.au. And to find out more about Player One, go to syn.org.au/Player One. Enjoy the podcast.
And welcome back to Sin Nation. This is Player One, and you just listened to Bleolk with Don't Worry. So now, Zach, it is time for the playlist.
What have you been playing, Julian?
What have I been playing? Well, this week I was playing Bulletstorm, the full clip edition. So the HD remaster of Bulletstorm.
What is Bulletstorm? Because I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of it?
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
It's only the greatest game ever. It's a game that lets you... It rewards you for, like, creative kills. So it actually has a point system for... shooting an enemy in the groin, or it's really, really, really
so
awesome.
So this is a first-person shooter?
First-person shooter, made by Epic Games, so the guys that made the Gears of War series, and just hands down one of my favorite games. It's sensational, story-wise, gameplay-wise, everything about it, I love it. One of the main gameplay mechanics of the game is a leash and a kick. You use a leash to pull enemies towards you, and it slows them in midair, so you are able to shoot them and kick them or do anything you can to create the most, like, creative and wacky kills and be rewarded for it. It's really, really fantastic, and to have it HD remastered, just all the graphics are there, and it looks so pretty, and all the guns sound even better. And with this full clip edition comes a Duke Nukem expansion, where you're able to play through the whole game as Duke Nukem, like, his voice and all. And I haven't started it yet. I want to play through it all first and then go back with Duke. But, man, this game. Ooh,
I love interested.
It. Yes, we got you. We got one reeling you in. Fantastic game. And I need more. I need more. And I'm hoping they do a sequel. Like, when I heard that they were doing this HD remaster, I was like, oh, does this mean, you know, maybe they're testing to see if people still want to play this game and want a sequel. So, Bulletstorm, full clip edition. Really good time at my house. Having a really good time. How about yourself, Zach? What's on the menu?
I have also been playing a game that could be described as a Bulletstorm, but for completely different reasons. And I will be honestly very surprised if you've heard of this. Toho Project?
Toho Project. No, I've never heard of it.
Not surprised, because they are made in Japan and very hard to get outside of Japan.
Ooh, how did you get your hands on it?
I bought them last year when I went to Japan.
Oh, very nice.
No, there's like... 15 games in the series. They're made by one guy, which is pretty impressive, but they're a bit strange. I won't lie, they're very strange.
How strange?
Well, how do I describe this?
Go, we've got plenty of time. Describe.
You play as a... It's top-down, and you play as a magical flying laser girl.
Magical flying laser girl. I'm sold. I'm going to go to Japan. You know, I'll be right back.
They are... It's a bullet hell game.
Yep.
And it is basically, if you know anyone who's a fan of bullet hell games, they will have probably played Toho Project, and they are brutal.
Right.
Just like, completely, like, when people say like Dark Souls is like the hardest game ever, I'm just like, no, it's not.
Well, you haven't heard of the Toho Project.
No, it is not. These games will just demolish you. They are so hard to beat. I beat one of them on easy difficulty, using all of my continues, which means you don't get a good ending. You don't even get to, like, if you beat the game on normal mode, I think you get like an additional boss. You don't get to play against them. It's ridiculous.
That sounds heartbreaking. How could you play a game like that? Like, I couldn't even get through Dark Souls.
A lot of concentration and honestly not frustration. See, the thing is, the game only takes 10 minutes to beat.
For real?
Yes.
But it's like the challenge of getting through those whole 10 minutes.
Because you can't see your character 90% of the time. There's
too many bullets.
There's too many bullets on the screen.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So how many games are there? You said you played
There's 15, I think.
Wow.
But only... Okay, not all of them are bullet hell games. Some of them are fighting game, just spin-offs.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no. No, I think there are 15 bullet hell games, and then the fighting games are like
hell.
The fighting games are like 12.1 or whatever for some reason.
Oh, right.
I don't know. That's a weird way of naming it. But it's ridiculous. You do have some means of getting around it. You can hold like they're on PC, you can hold the shift button down to like show where your hitbox is, because your hitbox is smaller than your character's sprite.
Oh, okay. So you have that little bit more.
Does not help much.
Really?
When there's that many bullets, no. Like, it slows your character's movement so you can like guide them around bullets better. It's still really hard. And you can also, you have access to a bomb, which will do a lot of damage.
Right.
But no one uses them for damage because the main reason people use them is that they wipe out every bullet on the screen.
Ooh.
And if you don't use them well, you will lose.
So those are like, you need those. Like, yes, how critical are those to the role of surviving this?
Completely critical. Like, one of the games I've been playing, one of the characters is considered a little overpowered because of like a, not glitch, just a little gimmick you can do with them that I can't pull off because I'm bad. that lets you get basically infinite bombs and infinite lives.
Ooh.
But even then, it's really still hard. For the record, the two games I've been playing are often considered some of the easiest in the series.
Ooh.
That's disheartening.
Will you go and challenge yourself with the later games in the series, the harder ones?
Oh, the later games.
Or is it the later, ones are the easiest?
The latest game is apparently one of the hardest.
Okay.
But the earlier games are apparently a lot harder.
All right. So it's progressively sort of had like a shift in difficulty or...
I don't know, really. It's kind of just... It depends. Each game has like a different gimmick. Mm. And it kind of depends on what the gimmick is, how easy the actual game is as well.
Of course.
Well, I mean, easy as a game like this can get.
Yeah, and I've had my experience with bullet hell games, and they have not been nice. Mm. They have not been pleasant. It doesn't sit well with me moving that little character on the screen and trying to avoid everything, reading the patterns. It doesn't sit in my brain.
Yeah,
Like with this bullet storm, almost a play on bullet hell. I forgot to tell you. There's like all these different like guns in the game that are just absolutely ridiculous. There's a quad barrel shotgun. There's one that shoots a chain with grenades strapped to each end of it that wraps around your enemies. It's really ridiculous, but like the point system, there's something about points in games that like draws you in and like makes you want more.
I don't know. Usually point systems haven't really engaged
had their effect on you, really.
I don't know. It's like, I just want to beat the game. I don't care about how many points I get.
No?
Unless it's a rhythm game. Rhythm games, I feel like, the only genre where points really matter that much.
Have you played Borderlands?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't? Ah, okay. So, like, you know, you've seen gameplay of it, right? With every time you shoot an enemy, you do damage. No? Oh my god, Zach, what are you doing?
I've seen screenshots, but, like, no actual gameplay.
Well, every time you shoot an enemy, like, damage counter comes up and shows how much damage you're doing. So, like, numbers like that, they're addicting, you know, to see. Like, you need more and you need, like,
higher numbers.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that's awesome. Hmm. Toho Project.
Bulletstorm.
Awesome. All right, we're going to throw to another song right now, but we will be back very shortly. This is Dead Albatross with Help, Help, I Need an Adult. Stay tuned here on Sin Nation.
That was Help, Help, I Need an Adult by Dead Albatross. And coming up now, we have an interview with the Kangas by Aiden and Akash.
Thank you to Aiden and Cash for that interview with the Kangs. Right now, we're going to throw to another song. We're going to Lunatics on Pogo Sticks with Less Than Sober. Stick around with us, guys. This is the what are we, Player One?
Player One.
Here on Sin Nation.
Player One. Yep.
Was Lunatics on Pogo Sticks with Less Than Sober. Welcome back to Player One on Sin Nation. Right now, we're going to head into the Versus segment. So, Zach, are you ready for storyline versus characters?
I think I am.
All right, let's go. Who do you want to take the side with first? Let's go storyline.
Storyline, okay. So, I think storyline is important for most games, but I don't think every game needs to have a super deep story.
Okay, and for what reason do you believe this?
Some games, I feel like, just don't need a deep story.
Right, so let's take Minecraft. That's pretty good example.
I don't think that has story or characters.
No.
I mean,
well, there are characters, but like...
They're completely as deep as the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is to say, not deep at all.
Yes.
And so I feel like it's kind of hard to... Look, with story and characters, I guess part of it is that characters influence the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit tricky when you're saying which one is more important.
Yeah.
Because I think it really does depend on the type of game.
Okay. Any in particular that jump out at you?
Like, something like Mass Effect, you would expect it to have really deep characters
really
and
deep,
a really
yeah,
deep
narrative,
story.
Yeah.
Because characters play such a central role to the story, in a way. Like, if you're taking on that role of someone in an event and you are able to talk to and form relationships with other characters,
you need
the characters to be deep.
Yes.
But if you're trying to have a like massive space opera, you need a big story as well.
Yes, so the characters do really pull the story in Mass Effect.
Yeah, that instance.
Look, it is a solid narrative, you know, the backstory, everything about it is very solid in Mass Effect. Even Legend of Zelda, when you were talking about it last week, that's just, you know, it's really in-depth. There's always so much more to the story.
I wouldn't call them all in-depth. Some of them, yes. Some of them, yes.
Yeah.
But no, not all of them.
Not all of them.
No.
For any particular reasons?
Well, they're just, a lot of them go for the generic guy saves princess storyline.
Yep.
Some of
very, like, Super Mario.
Very just generic.
Right.
Some of the more out there ones, like Majora's Mask, that has a very strange story that I don't even know what's happening 90% of the time.
And it's such a highly praised game. I haven't played it personally, but, you know, I've got friends, you know, Legend of Zelda fanatics that hold it on such a pedestal.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's a really good game, sometimes. I don't know. It's not my favourite.
Okay.
But that's not important right now. Right now we're talking about story and characters, so I'm not going to go on a rant.
All right, that's all right. Let's bring it back. Any particular characters that you are very fond of?
Not in particular. Like,
no?
There aren't any characters that I'm like that really, character is amazing.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of the games I play aren't very deep in terms of story anyway.
It's more like very gameplay focused that you're sort of drawn to.
Yeah, for the most part.
That's all right.
Really, the only games with characters that I can think of are the Fire Emblem ones.
Like, yep.
I know a lot of people get attached to those characters. I personally don't, just maybe because I haven't played that many games in the series.
Yeah,
I've only
that you're not
three.
That, you don't have that attachment to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, what about you?
Oh, for me, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, characters all around, you know. Anything Telltale, the Telltale games, The Walking Dead has to be probably the biggest one. All the characters in that drive the story, but I really reckon it's because of the role you play and how big of an impact you are to the whole story. You know, choosing what to say. Yeah. But also, The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Solid characters, and that's backed up by solid performances by all the actors in both motion capture and their voice performances. But
do you think
yes.
there are many games that have great stories that don't have as interesting characters? Like, can you think of any?
I really think Spec Ops The Line had a really good story. The characters, they were good, don't get me wrong, but it was what they were doing in the game that was really the driving force. I don't want to say too much because they're spoilers for the game, and I highly recommend it to anyone. It's a sensational story. Other than that, not really. Like, I'm trying to, you know, I'm searching my brain. Little Big Planet.
I haven't played that.
No?
Well, actually, I haven't played Spec Ops The Line either. But
that's all right, man. That's
or
all
any
right.
of the Telltale games.
I'll try to explain. Little Big Planet, it's like a really sandbox game.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, but driven by story. Okay. You just play as a little sack boy, as they're called in the game. You can customize them and everything, but they don't say anything. So the story's really, you know, it pulls the game through, and it's a really enjoyable story. You know, even at my age right now, like, I'll happily play that game. It's childish, it's colorful, it's fun, and easily I can go back to it tons and tons of times. Any narrative-driven games that are you particularly fond of, Zach?
Okay, this one isn't necessarily narrative-driven.
Okay.
Have you played Braid?
I've not played Braid, but I know of Braid.
So, indie game.
Yep.
Look, the story isn't interesting because it's, like, a big story. It's interesting because it's very subtle, and it apparently has a lot of ties to, like, real-world events. Now, I haven't played Braid in a long time, so I can't recall all the details.
That's all right.
But the characters definitely aren't much
like the driving force.
Yeah, it's like you have the character that you play as who's more just to get you through the story.
Yeah.
And then you have, I think, only two other characters total who are really there just to serve as kind of like backdrops for the story almost. They don't pull the story. It's more just they're there to give a connection, to give some idea of what's happening.
Yeah.
So that's about it, really. I mean, I've played Final Fantasy VII. That's I guess story.
Pretty highly praised game.
Yeah, story-wise though, I didn't think it was that.
Oh, so you felt it was a bit weak?
I didn't think it was bad. It didn't stick out in any way. It was good, but yeah, that's about it. Right. So I don't know why everyone goes on about how it's got an amazing story.
It's the perfect game, you know, 10 out of 10. Why haven't you played it?
Apart from that, nothing really comes
nothing
to mind.
Nothing really sticks out. No. Yeah. The two sort of mesh together really well.
I think there's a lot more games that have good characters but bad stories than those that have bad stories but good characters.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes. Yeah, it's just hard to pick out some. I've got none in mind right now.
Mm.
Anyway, with that, we will close our first Versus segment and we will be back with more. But right now, we will throw over to yet another song. This is Aphex Twin with 2X202ST5. You are here or listening to Player One on Sin Nation.
And that was Aphex Twin with 2X202-ST5. That is one. That is definitely a name. Anyway, you're listening to Player One on Sin Nation. And now I'm going to talk a bit about music and the way it can enhance a game's atmosphere, or at least try to enhance a game's atmosphere.
Mm. And the importance of atmosphere in a game, how much... Like we mentioned last week, sound is very important.
Yeah,
so
I feel like a lot of people go on about how much of a difference graphics makes in games. Personally, I think music can almost have more of an impact. Actually, I think it does most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might sound, you know, awful to some people. Like, some people probably want to chase me with a pitchfork after saying that. But
no, I think that I definitely agree with you. Like, a lot of people would back you as well. Like, sound, it carries emotion.
Yeah.
Well, it just makes a lot of difference.
Entertaining sometimes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But when we're talking about atmosphere, a lot of games try to present their atmosphere using mainly using elements like lighting and the sound.
Yep.
And I think when starting off talking about music and atmosphere, I think one of the most important genres to look at is actually the horror genre, because it's just known for having such immersive,
atmospheric music.
Tense. Yeah. And have you played many horror games, Julian?
I've played Outlast.
Okay.
Until Dawn is another one. I'm terrified of anything horror.
Well, you have more experience with horror than I do. Because my experience is limited to nothing.
Nothing.
Well,
really?
Unless you count sitting behind kids at school while they play Five Nights at Freddy's on their iPads.
That's truly terrifying.
I don't get why those games are popular. Whatever. That's not what we're talking about. And again, people probably won't chase me with pitchforks for saying that.
We love Five Nights at Freddy's.
Because we need like five of them and a movie.
Yeah, true.
Anyways, music.
Back to it.
Yeah. So horror games, I think, often use very quiet music, or, and I think this is incredibly effective, honestly, no music at all.
Yeah.
Which, it's surprising just how tense that can actually make
how effective it is.
Games are so, I think people don't realize just how common, almost entrenched in memory, how a game should have music.
Yeah, of course.
But when it doesn't have it, it's unnerving.
Yeah. You'll have your...
Something's missing.
Yes.
And you can't figure out what.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, not knowing what's going on right now. With most action games, you've got a steady soundtrack, but then when you encounter enemies, you get that loud...
It picks up.
The track picks up. But there are games...
Imagine if you played an action game and whenever you encounter an enemy, the music just cut silent.
Yeah.
It would create a completely different tone.
Of course.
I mean, sometimes it might be completely boring, depending on the game. But for some, I think it would just create such a different tone to just have music cut suddenly.
Yeah.
Of course, horror games aren't the only games that use their music to...
No, of course.
I think almost every game does, really.
Yes.
At least in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at games like Elder Scrolls, have you played...
Yes, I've played the Elder Scrolls. Okay. Skyrim.
Skyrim,
yes.
Same. That game does have quiet music, for the most part. I mean, the menu theme features screaming people, but even that, it helps set the mood. You realize you're getting into some big adventure where you're playing a big part,
and there's something about that
it gets you pumped up.
Yeah, it gets you adventurous. You want to go out and explore. Most of the sort of big orchestral tracks happen for me personally, I haven't put that much time into the game through the main quests when something big happens, you know, or you fight a dragon.
It creates this almost immense feeling.
This really, like, epic moment.
Yeah. It works, again, the music...
That's all right.
There were segments in the game where, like the horror games, they don't have music, but the way it's worked in here is completely different. Rather than cutting it off when you would expect there to be big music whenever you, you know, encounter something completely different, it just... It cuts off... There's less music when you're, like, exploring. What there is very quiet, and it creates an atmosphere of, you know, curiosity, I think, almost. And helps create a more peaceful, calming nature.
Yeah.
Of course, then you get attacked by a bandit and a dragon and a werewolf and everything else in the game.
Yeah, but you need the loot. Chicken loot. Never attack the chickens. That's what I've learned from games.
Any games. Don't kill chickens.
No, definitely. Like, for me, with Until Dawn, I don't know if you've seen any gameplay of that.
No.
PlayStation 4 exclusive. It's basically an interactive horror movie. You take the role of 8 teenagers at this cabin in the woods.
8?
Yes. So it's really, really fun. But, you know, there's those moments where you're controlling the character. You walk into the next room, there's fixed cameras in the game, so you're guiding them through this long hallway. No sound whatsoever. It is...
Oh, that would put me off.
Truly terrifying.
That's why I don't do... I will play almost anything except for horror. You cannot convince me to play a horror game.
Oh, we'll get there. I reckon we'll try to get there by the end of this season. We will make you play something.
No, you won't. You won't get me to play it for more than 5 minutes. I'll give you that.
All right. Another one, Amnesia. Have you heard of Amnesia?
Heard of it, but...
Yeah?
You know,
seen any gameplay of it?
Nope.
That's probably my first encounter with, like, the horror video game genre. I played it at my mate's place. Oh, scary. Too scary. Too scary, Zach.
Why do people want to scare themselves for fun? It's not fun. Humans have developed this sense of fear to keep us from getting, like, killed by things.
I guess it like, creates this adrenaline that keeps people wanting more, you know? Your heart gets pumping and...
Why not, I don't know, go on a roller coaster or something? I mean, I'm not going to do that either because I don't like heights. But...
So that's still scary, but not as scary as, like, being in control of someone in a... completely dead silent room where you don't know what's coming around the corner.
Yeah, I think it's the lack of music, not the soundtrack. It's the not soundtrack.
Are there any soundtracks that stand out to you? Like, really?
This one isn't for its atmosphere, I mentioned earlier, Toho Project.
Ah.
Best soundtrack throughout the series, best soundtracks to any game.
Really?
Yes.
It would be that really, like, loud, fast paced and.
Yeah, well, most of them.
Yeah?
Here's the thing. The games don't have a lot of text, so they use... I think part of it's they use the music to convey
what's going on.
The character is.
Nice.
And definitely, like, best soundtrack to anything I have ever heard ever.
That's awesome, man. Well,
what about you?
For me, Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance.
I have heard the main theme to that. Yeah. I actually want to play that really bad.
Yeah, I went on a binge when that game came out. Like, I've never played any of the other Metal Gear games except for this one, and it's that soundtrack that really draws me in. That rock metal music. It's so awesome. You know, every boss fight has a different soundtrack, and it's fantastic. It keeps you wanting... I want to fight forever. I really want to fight forever in these boss battles. But yeah, personally, that really grabs me, that soundtrack.
Yeah. I think a lot of RPGs tend to have immersive soundtracks.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like you said, Skyrim. I'm just trying to think of another one. Borderlands.
But if you think of any turn-based RPG, they also have to incorporate a battle theme.
Yes.
Central to the whole game. I think that is part of what... makes them not necessarily immersive, but it definitely makes looking at a menu more fun than it really should be, let's be honest.
No, I agree. XCOM is another game.
I have not played XCOM.
That's all right.
Isn't that free now?
Is it? Ooh, wouldn't that be nice? Anyways, XCOM, yeah, it's a pretty, like, mellow theme until you spot your first enemy and then start attacking. It's amazing the impact that music has in games.
Mm. Anyway, next up is... Comtruse with Aether Drift.
And that was Come Trues by Ether Drift. Welcome back to Sin Nation. You're listening to Player One. And right now we have a special top 10 by Maria. So we'll leave you with that.
This video game runtimes. So it's only fair that in this week's top 10, we look at the shortest video game runtimes. Number 10, Quantum of Solace, approximate time 4 hours. Yes, it's a movie license and we shouldn't expect the world from it, but Treyarch seemed to do no justice for Bond enthusiasts with the Quantum of Solace. First-person shooter, a liken to that of Halo and Call of Duty, had such a small campaign that it seemed to have none of the fun that the agent is best known for. Number 9, Mirror's Edge, approximate time 4 hours. DICE had a lot of cool ideas with this one, presenting a strong independent woman doing parkour around the city. However, it had such a short time to do exploration that it seemed to be poorly executed. Number 8, Terminator Salvation, approximate time 4 hours.
I'll be back.
Apparently not in this game, however. It had a cool idea with the prequel, however, it was such a short amount of time to present the whole idea. Number 7, Yoshi's Story, approximate time 4 hours. While Yoshi's Story is amazing throughout the duration, many critics discuss how it was over too soon. Number 6, Portal, approximate time 3 hours. All I can say for this one is that there's a few holes in this one. Number 5, Jurassic Park, approximate time 2 hours. Cue the live-action scenes that were so prevalent within 90s video games. Play this game for Samuel L. Jackson. Leave this game like you watched bad deleted scenes from the film. Number 4. Kane and Lynch 2. Dog Days. Approximate time, 3 hours. This one dogged fans, but left parents happy that their kids weren't playing this on repeat. Number 3, Rogue Warrior, approximate time 2 hours. Many regard this one as an ultimate mess. Number 2, Pokemon Snap, approximate time 1 hour. Short as, and surprise to anyone who's attempted to play another Pokemon game ever, the one that will take our ultimate spot at number 1 is the shortest game ever. Approximate time 0.1 seconds. This was created in 2009 by Kongregate that has the literal world record for the shortest game ever. If you have any suggestions for another top 10, feel free to go on our Facebook at Player One.
Yeah, thank you, Maria, for that wonderful top 10. Coming up now, we have Volaris K with Alchemy.
Volaris K with Alchemy. Welcome back to Sin Nation Player One. This takes us to the top of the hour right now, but don't fear, we have a whole hour's worth of more juicy gaming goodness coming up. After this, we have a new Jambles segment and Versus, where we put controller versus keyboard. And, of course, we've got a lot of news to go through, don't we, Zach?
A lot of news.
Lots and lots of news. That will take up all of our time. So right now, we'll go to our next song. This is Boyfriend by Marika Hackman. You're on Sin Nation with Player One. And thank you very much, Jared, for that segment on Idle Games. We are back here on Sin Nation. This is Player One, and we're going to throw to another song before we get into our Versus segment. Coming up now, we have Banoffee with Got It. Stay tuned. Banoffee with Got It. You are here on Sin Nation listening to Player One. Zach, it's time for another Versus segment.
Let's go.
Are you ready for controller versus keyboard?
Ooh, this is a big one.
This is enormous. This is one that divides the gaming community.
Honestly, I think this is almost as big as graphics versus gameplay.
Ooh.
But that's for another
possibly
time.
Bigger?
That's for
yes,
another time.
Yes, that's right.
not PlayStation. Consoles versus PC.
Yes, of course.
But
of course.
Again.
Another time. Let's not get that too deep into it.
I mean,
but
this is part of consoles versus PCs.
Part of it, but only. Oh, actually,
well, I mean,
it's
you can
a major
use controllers
part
on PCs.
So. You can. So, yeah, let's get right into it. What do you prefer, Zach?
Depends. Most of the time, I prefer a controller.
Okay. Any particular controller?
But it does also depend on... depend on the controller. And again, it depends on the game.
Of course, of course.
Some games, I find that just any controller works.
Yep.
Most of the time, I'll use an Xbox 360 controller just because that's what I have.
Yep.
I'm not the type of person who owns 50 different controllers, each with, like, a label for a specific game.
This is player one. This is player two. No, I'm the same. But, look, I do have PlayStation, so PlayStation controller for any games on there. But the problem I have with playing on controller is precision.
Yes, that is the big issue.
Yes, first-person shooters for any genre, really. With a controller, I struggle. I really struggle, Zach.
I haven't played too many shooters. Basically, my shooter game experiences are limited to Team Fortress 2.
Yep.
About 10 minutes playing Overwatch on a PC, on like a laptop that couldn't run it very well at all. Hey, I still had some value. I played Lucio, so I just had to exist.
Oh, beautiful.
And Splatoon, which I don't think that even counts, let's be honest.
Oh, it's a shooter.
It's not even first person. It's not a first person.
Yeah, it's a shooter game.
Sort of.
Anyway, let's talk about the reason for this. Why is our precision, I guess, downgraded?
Well, a controller, you can't turn it as fast. Like a mouse, you can move as fast as your hand can move.
Yes.
And with as much room as you have.
Yes.
A controller only has the 360 degrees.
Of course. And the rotation, yeah.
Yes.
But we also have to take into account that sensitivity is an adjustable factor.
It is.
Quickscoping for days.
I feel like
on Call of Duty.
You will never get the perfect sensitivity.
Of course.
Because with a mouse and keyboard,
you
are the sensitivity.
Yeah, you are.
You can adjust it however
crosshairs.
You'd like.
Yes.
In game, when using a controller, you can't pause it, lower your sensitivity for like a fraction of a second, and then turn it back to what it
yep.
was. It just doesn't work.
No.
The closest, actually, going back to what I said about Splatoon, the closest it comes is it does have gyro controls for aiming, which might
Ooh.
Sound horrible. It can actually, it does help with precision though sometimes, because you can make those quick, like,
those sharp
jerkish
movements,
sort
yeah.
of movements. Although I don't recommend it anyway, because whenever you're sitting there tapping your foot, you are constantly bobbing the camera. That's, again, another story.
Great. So, keyboard. Where does keyboard shine in the gaming universe?
First person.
First person, definitely.
First person.
Yes. How about games where you have a third-person perspective, Zach?
Depends. Most of the time, I feel like controller is better for that, yep. because you can see your character moving.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, when you tap backwards on a keyboard, and you, like, in a first-person game, and your
yep.
character moves backwards, it feels like what you'd expect.
Yes.
But when you're in a third-person game, and you tap backwards, and your character steps backwards, it feels jarring, because what
yeah.
you'd normally expect is that they turn around.
Yes.
And that's what happens when you use a controller.
Look, it also depends if the game has that feature where the character does either turn around or just snaps to that direction.
If they have one where they step backwards, then that's terrible design, because that means you have to physically turn the camera, which is, like, from the PlayStation
yep.
1 era.
Yeah. Look, third-person games, definitely controller shines, but also very good on keyboard and mouse.
I feel like any game that requires very precise inputs,
yep.
Better with a controller
yep.
most of the time, because there's less buttons to worry about.
Yes.
In a game where you need to do a lot of things, like in an MMO where you need to organize
yeah,
things.
Yeah, you've got like every key.
You need keyboards for hotkeys.
Yes.
But in a game such as a fighting game where you need to just press things quickly
yes.
and make
controller.
Sure you're pressing the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Controller all
Let's
the way.
Let's talk about how that does not work on keyboards, Zach.
There's too many buttons. There's too many buttons. They all do different things.
They try to spread it over like the whole keyboard.
Oh my god. It's like I can't.
So if you're trying to get combos,
I can't touch type, so I can't keep track of what button I'm pressing. With a controller, I have a maximum of 6 buttons to press
yes.
90% of the time.
And it's easy to combine them all together.
I can see them.
It's all compact.
I can press all of them at once.
Yes.
If I want to press all the buttons at once on a keyboard, I have to just smash my arm against
and
it.
And hope for the best. Like, you get a combo
yes.
or something. Yeah, awesome. But I'm a sucker for the slow pan in third-person games. You know, being able to slowly move
yeah.
the analog stick just to take in all the visuals. There's
yeah.
something, like, it brings you into the environment. Something about it. How about what other about fighting games? What were you going to say? Sorry, go.
What about game? What about platformers?
Yes, that's what I was just about to bring up.
What do you prefer for those?
It depends on the platformer. What were we talking about before? Nidhogg?
Yeah, Nidhogg. Well, that's not really a platformer. It's more fighting game than platformer.
More fighting game. All right.
How about something like? Have you played Super Meat Boy?
Yes, I was. Yes,
oh my god, you need a controller for that game,
dude. I know. Like
a keyboard works, but.
But not
very well.
As good as a controller. Like, it made me go out, buy a controller that I can plug into my computer and play it with.
I think that was my first controller PC game as well.
Right?
But then that was also, like, one of my first PC games. So what am I gonna say?
No, there was something I felt had more control with the controller.
It's a control.
Ooh.
I'm never doing that ever again. But no, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
And having, this might sound really odd, but having the back trigger to press to sprint, that is so
it
much
changes
like, because
the
having
whole
to like
thing.
Even just having to lift a single finger to press a sprint button,
dude,
it just your whole hand has
I
to like
know.
Tilt and it feels
I
weird.
Know. That's it's amazing the difference it makes.
Have you played any platformers or? What about games that kind of break these rules? Have you played any third-person games that you prefer with a keyboard or any first-person games that you prefer with a controller?
Yeah, look, any real third-person shooter game really shines on computer, but I'm also really happy to play it on controller because of the fact that most of the time there is that auto-aim with third-person games.
Okay.
But also first-person game does support, you know, auto-aim, and that does help out a lot. But, no, I'm definitely a keyboard and mouse guy through and through. Used to be, like, you know, I grew up PlayStation, so, like, controller was my life. But, you know, then my mates are like, nah, come on, PC. And then I found out about Steam. And then, you know, getting new graphics cards and customizing your PC. Keyboard has taken over my life. And I struggle to go back. Like, playing Bulletstorm, like I said, I'm struggling. And it makes me so sad. But, yeah. Keyboard is definitely my go-to. How about yourself?
Look, I will play most things with a controller. Really, first-person games.
Yep.
When I mentioned Toho Project earlier, those games you can't play them on a controller. It's impossible.
You need the accuracy of the keyboard.
You need the accuracy of it. A lot of people say a controller is more accurate for movement. You need to be able to press keys for this because having like 360-degree rotation is weird. at least for a game like that.
Of course.
I mean, there are some games where I'm happy to compromise. Like, have you ever heard of Cave Story?
No, have not.
I play a lot of out there games.
That's all right. Explain.
It's a Metroidvania platformer.
Righto.
Usually I prefer a platformer with a controller. This game, keyboard all the way. But that's because I feel like the keyboard, it breaks some of the usual conventions for a game like this. Like, spacebar is not the jump button.
What?
I know, it's weird.
That's blasphemy.
But it... It breaks these conventions, but it makes it more comfortable.
All right.
So instead you have, like, jump is Z, I think, and shoot is
ooh.
X. It,
I'm just looking
it
down at the keyboard
odd.
Now, and I'm like, ooh.
It sounds odd, but it's something that I adjusted to within, like, five minutes, and I feel like it worked better. In fact, I think if a lot of games actually broke these conventions more often, and it might make things a little easier. Because why does the jump button have to be spacebar all the time? Because spacebar is not close
right
to
there.
Any... Spacebar has only the row of keys above it that are available. At least with, like, any of the letters, you have all the letters around it that you can also press. And the letters around those are also...
That's why we have the default, you know, WASD is, you know, movement.
But that's when you're using the mouse. But what if you're playing a game that doesn't
that's
use the
mouse? That's just purely the keyboard. That would feel weird.
It's
like, I'm
work.
Putting my hand on the keyboard right now, and I'm like, ooh.
If you're not... If you're
I need,
not,
I need
if you're
to
not
do
holding
something.
The mouse, it's jarring. It makes me feel like I should be typing an essay.
Ooh.
But I don't want to type an essay.
You don't want to type an essay. You want to play some games.
Yes. No, most of the time, controller for me.
Most of the time, controller. And any particular controller?
Whatever works, really.
Whatever works?
I mean, I've used a Logitech controller that's basically a PlayStation controller. I've used a 360 controller. That was fine. I've used the Wii U gamepad. Yeah, that was fine. As long as, you know, they didn't have weird touchscreen gimmicks.
Yeah.
That were weird.
That's really weird to hold, the Wii U.
I didn't find it that bad to hold.
Yeah?
Yeah, everyone complained about it being huge, but I was like, it's fine.
Hmm.
I just don't like it when I had to take a hand off to use the touchscreen. Yeah, I'm holding this massive thing up with one hand trying to tap things.
It's huge.
No, I just want to play the game.
How about handheld? Actually, no. You know what? We'll save handheld.
For another time?
For another time. Right now, we're going to throw over to another song. Right now, we have Katie Gately with Lift. You are listening to Player One here on Sin Nation.
That was Katie Gately with Lift, and you are listening to Player One on Sin Nation. And now it's news time.
News time. We have got loads of news. Zach, tell us about what Nintendo has just unveiled.
They have announced a new 2DS XL.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very confused as to why. Okay.
Okay, go.
I get why, but they also just announced, a new full console, so you'd think they'd be putting everything into supporting that.
Yeah, true.
And, they announced the 3DS XL, they announced that 2 years ago. Never mind.
Yeah, wow.
I remember, because that was the first handheld system I bought.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Claps for Zach. Well done. And how did that feel, having the XL? Do we know if this is the same size?
I don't know 2DS? If this is the same size.
Okay.
I'm assuming it is. I'm assuming it's the same, but without the 3D feature.
Yes.
I've seen pictures. Yeah. I don't know the exact size, but I feel like it looks basically the same, but no 3DS.
No 3D feature. Thus bringing the price down of it.
The price down a bit.
That makes it a really appealing console.
Let's put it this way. If I hadn't bought anything by this point, I would have bought a new 2DS instead of a 3DS.
Yeah.
Because I never use the 3D. In fact, a lot of games I play don't even support 3D because otherwise
it's just
the game
tacked on there.
Yeah, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, I've seen it. One of my friends, he loves it, playing Pokemon with it. I was like, this is a bit much,
There's only one game I've played where the 3D was actually important.
What game?
Super Mario 3D Land.
Oh, of course.
The way the depth works, you actually can't tell what's happening most of the time if you don't have 3D on.
Oh, for real?
But it works well in that game. But the others, it's fine, but it's not something I'm going to play with that much. It drains the battery faster as well. It's a
exactly, yes.
Look, I can see the advantages to this.
Yep.
As there are some games that are only on the new 3DS systems.
Yeah.
Well, now the new DS systems, I guess.
Yes.
But as far as I'm aware, there's only two games. I'm not sure. I know.
Yeah, what really
Xenoblade
is there?
Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, which
Xenoblade.
Is amazing, but that's just one game.
Yeah.
And I think one of the Monster Hunter games.
Yeah, that's been getting pretty good, pretty high praise. Even on handheld.
Look, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D is the only 3D, new DS system only game that I've played.
Mm.
And it was amazing, don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure if it's worth buying a new system for. And at the moment, it's that or Monster Hunter. Most people who wanted to play those games have probably already bought the new 3DS anyway. And as far as I'm aware, there's only one other game that's coming out as a new DS exclusive, which is a Fire Emblem game, later in the year.
Yeah. Look, this feels a bit maybe late to release this kind of console.
Mm.
Purely because, like you said, Nintendo's already released the Switch, and that's everyone's talking about it. Everyone wants one.
Yeah.
Everyone's nearly got one.
I can see it as maybe a backup plan they had if the Switch
failed. Yeah,
the Switch didn't fail.
No, it's
it's
exceeded
huge
expectations, and this will definitely appeal to, the hip pocket of most people.
And I can see maybe people, parents getting it for younger children.
Definitely. Yeah.
It does seem like that sort of system.
Yeah, of course.
But anyone who's already got a DS, I still don't see any reason why they, unless maybe they have, a DSi and they're planning on upgrading to one of the, newer DS systems.
Yeah.
That's the only time I can see someone actually wanting one of these. In fact, if you have any handheld, really, I feel like it does just as well as what the new 2DS can do, at least as far as I'm aware, unless it's got some hidden amazing feature.
Oh, who knows? It could. Who knows? Maybe it does. Ooh.
Or if you want a handheld thing, you could get the Switch. But, there's only one game that anyone seems to care about on it at the moment, so.
Well, until today, Mario Kart.
All right, Mario Kart
8 Deluxe dropped. I've been getting messages from my mates all saying they've got it already. Some of them sent me pictures of them playing in uni. looks pretty cool, but, still, I'm not sold on the Switch.
I'm not sold on it, but I feel like part of it's only because I have the original Mario Kart 8.
Yep.
And a new battle mode is cool, but given that none of my friends ever come over for me to play it with anyone, it doesn't matter. Like, the only friend I can imagine I would actually have a chance to play with it, he has a Switch, so I don't see any reason for me to get one.
When he can just play with you, you can just
I basically owned Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like, 3 years ago, just without some of the added features.
Mm.
And it just doesn't feel worthwhile yet.
Not yet, Once more
games
come
out. Maybe after E3. You know, that's when the games come out.
Yes, of course.
Speaking of games coming out, what else has been announced recently?
Well, Call of Duty World War II has their trailer dropped. I think it was yesterday or the day before.
I think it was the day before.
Got the internet screaming with joy. Call of Duty finally going back to its roots with World War II setting. I'm, at heart, Call of Duty fanboy. But slowly, you know, as the series got further and further into space, I dropped away. I was scared because of all the jump packs. Playing multiplayer is scary because people are jumping at you from all directions with laser beams and there's robots.
My biggest Call of Duty experience is doing some of those parkour race things at my friend's house with the new one, so I'm not very much into shooters.
Yeah, no, look, it'll be good for them to get boots back on the ground. Literally. It's, you know, it's where the series shined. I think they had, you know, the first three games, and then the fifth one was World War II. Before they went into the modern series and then futuristic. So it'll be good to see this. Definitely, this is happening to try compete with Battlefield 1.
Yeah, I was about to ask, do you think it's... Because both of them are going back to pretty serious things.
Yeah, well, Battlefield 1 took it all the way back to World War 1, which was, you know, huge. You know, how to... I'm surprised they pulled it off.
Yeah, it's surprising.
But it is slowly dying off in player base. So Call of Duty, I reckon, will absolutely take the cake this year. They're going to take the cake and everything that goes with it. All the little strawberries on top of the cake.
Game of the year?
Oh, look, it looks pretty. We need to find out if it plays pretty. It looks like there's a huge emphasis on story. Call of Duty Zombies is back. It never went, but, like, this might be a good, like, original...
Zombies in World War II?
Yeah. They had it in Call of Duty World at War. They introduced it. Nazi Zombies.
Right, that's...
it's quite something.
I thought
it's like two of the worst things ever, right? So, yeah, return of that and co-op in the single player. So, yes, I'm very excited. It should be good. But we can't always keep our hopes up too high. Especially when Call of Duty is lurking around the corner, you know, trying to draw us in. So, that happened, and it was enormous news. Also, we have news that in Korea, they have game-themed drinks hitting stores.
I have heard about these.
These things look wicked. I'm not sure what flavor they are, but they're
I know one of them's apple.
Apple?
Basically, there's HP and MP.
Yeah.
So, like, health potion and magic potion.
Yeah. And
I think I think MP is apple-flavored.
Ooh.
And HP, I think, is...
strawberry?
It's berries.
It's berry flavor?
It's red, so I'm assuming it's berries.
Yeah. So anyway, they're selling that. And
that's pretty cool, honestly.
Let's go to South Korea, man. Let's go.
Let's buy some drinks and let's just come straight back home.
Yep. Sounds good to me. what other news do we have? We also have news of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite trailer. That dropped the other day, and I've never bought a Marvel vs. Capcom game.
I've never played one.
Yeah,
I've
played them.
To.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until, like, this point. When I saw this trailer, I was like, yes. 100 times yes. Infinite times yes. Have my money.
Okay, do you think they're trying to compete, though, with Injustice 2?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, let's talk about that, too, in a second. but, yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom, you know, you've got two massive universes.
Mm.
So many great characters. They showed off a few in the trailers.
The big question. Do they have actual Mega Man?
They have Mega Man.
Like, proper Mega Man?
Like, old school Mega Man. Like, the full blue...
What do you mean? I remember
like
one of
the
games...
round head.
One of the games, they had, like, this massive controversy because they added, like, a joke Mega Man. A joke
no,
version
this is, like,
this
legit
is
Mega Man.
Oh, okay.
In the trailer, legit Mega Man got his ass handed to him by Ultron from Marvel.
It's still Mega Man.
It's still Mega Man.
I mean, it's basically showing the current state of Mega Man getting his ass handed to him.
No, it's good. It's good. Like, the main antagonist of the game is going to be Ultron, and he's, like, interrupted the Capcom universe. It looks really cool. I don't know what's going on. It looks wacky. It looks crazy. It looks like there's lots of characters.
I like wacky and crazy.
Bring it on. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. That releases sometime September this year. So, not too far away, but just close enough to bring it into my PlayStation 4. More news or... No, we'll throw it to a song right now.
We're back with more news after this.
Yes, that is right. But for now, we will play Mikhail Pasagalev... How am I reading that? Pasagalev's Jive Babe. You are listening here on Sin Nation. This is... Oh, I can't find the song. Oh, no.
Mild technical difficulties. why don't we go to a different song? Let's go to Corin Void.
Yes.
We have that song? Yes.
All right. Corin Void, Sin Nation, Player One. Stay tuned. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Player One here on Sin Nation. We've got some more news for you, and let's just go right into it with XCOM creator Julian Gollop creating his own game away from the company. The game is called Phoenix Point, and he's already raised more than $250,000 for his top-down turn-based shooter.
Top-down turn-based shooter?
That's right.
Really?
Yeah, turn-based tactical game.
Like
so,
tactical games.
Wow. Over $250,000 already, and
so how long has the funding been going?
I'm not too sure. I think it's only I'm not too sure how long he's been working on the project until he announced it, but that's a hell of a lot of money for a Kickstarter game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for these, and it really looks amazing.
Yeah, like, I haven't seen any of the trailers. Like I said earlier,
it's
actually,
very like it's all on the Kickstarter
into the
website. Yeah,
XCOM games.
That's all right, but
sounds interesting.
Yeah, massive deal. Like for this to happen so fast.
So do you know how long funding, like how long the Kickstarter campaign has been going for?
No, the stated goal. It launched not too long ago, I think.
Mm.
Yes, crowdfunding campaign. Stated that the goal for Phoenix Point's campaign is $500,000. Yeah. And it looks like he's on the right track to do so. So to be able to get that much money so quickly already.
That's pretty impressive.
Hands off to Julian Gollop. Wow.
Do you know when the game's scheduled to be released?
Yes, it's scheduled to release for late 2018, I think he set the date for.
Okay. Platforms?
No, I think PC is the primary platform. I'm not sure if it's heading to console.
Okay.
But yes. So definitely one to keep eyes open on.
I will keep
in
my
the future.
Eyes on it.
Beautiful. Next we have the Ultimate Epic Battle Simulator. Game that hit Steam.
I've heard of this game.
Yeah, hit Steam I think last week or a couple weeks ago. And if it's got your attention, it's gotten everyone else's attention. This game is blowing up on the internet. YouTubers and everyone.
I don't know why though.
It's a very simple concept. Let's talk about it. So to explain for people, it's a game in a like just flat or there's like a set location and you are able to spawn in
armies, basically.
Armies. Hundreds of armies of
and
different.
You watch them fight. Yeah. You don't fight for them.
You can become them,
but you can't really like you can control one of them.
Yeah.
But you can't actually influence anything.
Yes.
Watch them fight.
Yes. It's a simulator where you watch armies fight.
Like, have you played Dynasty Warriors?
No, I've not played Dynasty Warriors.
Okay, well, in that game, you're basically a one-man army clearing out a jillion people. This is more like if two of the armies went against each other. Not you against an army, just two armies. And they're useless, the armies. They don't tend to really do anything.
They're not very smart.
It's like one of them will win eventually.
Yeah.
But it'll be a long time going there. So and you can do some strange things in Ultimate Battle Simulator.
Yeah, like I think there's...
An army of chickens!
There's an army of chickens, and there's an...
Number one is don't attack the chickens. So we already know who's won that battle.
The chickens! But there's also... You can spawn in Chuck Norris, I believe.
Right.
There's like Roman warriors, there's modern soldiers, World War II soldiers, zombies, orcs. It's crazy, like, how popular this game can be, you know? And it's... You're just spawning them in and watching them fight.
It's such a weird concept. Like,
it is.
Who gathers around a table and says, let's make a game where players
don't play
armies, but don't do anything. They just
they watch
armies
they
fight.
They pay to get this game just to watch.
To watch armies fight. It's like the
I guess you can create, like, dream scenarios. Like,
I guess...
If you're, like I'm a diehard
really
Lord of the Rings fan, so if you put, like, orcs against, you know, Spartan warriors, that'd be pretty cool, but...
Well, you could put Chuck Norris against chickens.
Or you could put Chuck Norris against 10,000 chickens.
Because why not?
So
I mean, it's a battle for the ages.
Yeah, of course. You know, this game, I think it's still in early development, and the team behind it are going to put more detail into the UI, making the computers.
I'm curious to see where it could go. Like,
yeah.
Maybe we could actually... Like, this might sound weird, but it could almost even be a resource, and some people might kill me for saying this again, but it could actually be something that could be used in an almost educational sort of manner.
Yeah, hands down.
I mean, if they can make something realistic and not chickens fighting Chuck Norris, but of course, we need that anyway.
Of course we do.
Chuck Norris can exist in Roman times, why not?
Yeah, no, you could definitely show off some, like, Roman, you know, takeovers of cities or something. No, great potential, but at the moment, I don't see where it's, like, replayability.
If I wanted it, I would just watch videos on YouTube. I would not buy it.
Yeah,
yet.
To watch other people try to watch it.
Just watch other people do what I would do. Because either way, you're just sitting there watching something happen.
That's right. Mm. That's hit Steam. I'm not sure how much it sells for, but we will be keeping eyes on, though. We will be keeping eyes on. Next bit of news, final bit of news, the biggest bit of news this week. Tekken 7 has removed the kangaroo character. I can't remember the name of the kangaroo, but...
I will find the name.
They've removed it from the game.
And
I'm pretty sure it was in, like, the two previous games.
Yes, it
and
was.
There was no problems with it. It was great, you know?
Why would you take out a kangaroo?
Yeah, like, look, do they still have the panda in this game, though?
Yes, they do.
Then why remove the kangaroo?
I do not
know. It's discrimination against animals, damn it.
Like, okay. Some people... It just feels a bit unnecessary. I can get why some people might feel a bit
offended. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a kangaroo with boxing gloves fighting against anything, really.
And look, on top of that, it's a game.
I mean, people don't complain.
It's completely fictional.
People don't seem to complain when we have chickens fighting against hordes of Roman soldiers.
Yes. Ooh, good
point.
Or
Chuck Norris.
True. No, so animal rights activists have... taken offense to this, so
look,
unfortunately they had to remove it from Tekken, but, you know, like I said, they've still got the panda in there.
Yeah, it feels a little bit unnecessary.
Yeah.
Not
that he's a fan favorite character,
but it's just
to have him there, you know, it's fun.
It just feels, it's sometimes you need a little bit of something just
wacky,
a bit funny.
You know, a bit wacky and diverse.
Oh, Roger. That's
Roger.
That's the name.
There we go.
I found the name.
Beautiful.
So, Roger has been removed from the game.
Oh.
Unfortunately, we will miss you, Roger. We hope you go in peace, and maybe one day you can come back as DLC.
Yes!
We need our kangaroo DLC.
It's a must for Tekken 7. But, is it 7 or is it Tekken 8? Wait. 7?
8.
Yeah.
8.
Oh, 8. Forgive me.
It's been removed from 7.
It has been removed. No, it's been removed from 7.
Come back
for
Tekken 8.
Yes.
Or can we just have a Tekken spin-off where it's just like a whole bunch of random animals beating each other?
Animal warfare or something.
Yeah, I want to
play. That'd be pretty wicked.
I want to play as a chicken fighting a kangaroo. Come on.
That'd just be completely outmatched, though. Like, you got a chicken that's like down. What's this?
Yes,
like,
but chickens are the ultimate video game character. We already planned this.
Yeah, I know, but like, if you put them in a fighting game, you'd have to, like, build, like, combos and, like,
I'm
stats.
Sure a chicken can have combos. I've played
can't
games.
I see it. I can't see it in my head.
I've played weird games, so I can see it.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't worry. I played a game where you play as a wrestler that transforms into a chicken.
Ooh, I like it. You know what? That sounds like another discussion for a versus segment.
Wrestler versus chicken.
I love it. Let's do it. Next week, I'll lock it in. That will do it for the news. We're going to throw back to a song. We're going back to Mikhail Paskalev, Jive Babe. You're listening to Player One here on Sin Nation. And that was Cosmos Midnight with Walk With Me, featuring Kukar.
Now, we have run out of time, unfortunately. So, you have been listening to Player One on Sin Nation. Thank you all for your time, and we will be back next week. And to finish you off, this is Mikhail Paskalev with Jive Babe.
This has been a Player One podcast. To check out more Player One, go to syn.org.au/Player One.